Yesterday I was at the transitional diaconate ordination at the cathedral for men were ordained, and this is the second of four ordinations on Saturdays in a row. So in football terminology, we're at halftime. And the first Saturday were some permanent deacons, and yesterday the transitional deacons, they're going to be ordained priests next year. Then this coming Saturday, the other half of the permanent deacons, and then the Saturday after that, the priests. So lots of vocations. And three of the four ordained yesterday had relatives serve in the Mass. Deacon Matt Hebert, who's going to be our deacon for the summer, June and July, he'll be here Wednesday. His father is a permanent deacon. So his father proclaimed the gospel and was able to vest his son in the dalmatic, which the deacons wear sometimes at Mass. The other deacon, Rene Pellissier, his mother is a Laverne from Villeplat. And he has a brother in the seminary, so his brother read one of the readings. And they live about two streets down from where I grew up and where my mother still lives. So if they get ordained, the two of them, my brother and I are priests. Down the street from them is another seminary. We'll have five priests out of that little bitty neighborhood next to the Vermilion River. So there must be something in the water there. I don't know. Deacon Chris Cambry, his brother's in the seminary, and so he read one of the readings. And the fourth guy, David Rosa, has a Eunice connection, and Father Bazaar is actually related to him. So all sorts of connections with these men. And by the way, Deacon or Ben Swallow from Queen of All Saints Parish will be ordained a permanent deacon this coming Saturday in that group. And in the year 2018, for the 100th anniversary of the Diocese of Lafayette, we're going to have, I think, seven or eight priests ordained. So a bumper crop ordained for the Diocese of Lafayette. So just to show that our diocese has been very fruitful with vocations. And the reason I mention all of that to you is it's all about the Holy Eucharist, which is our feast day today, our solemnity, right? Corpus Christi, the body and blood of Christ. Because without the priesthood, we wouldn't have the Eucharist, right? So God inspired me to be a priest, and I wouldn't give up a wife and family just for anything, right? But if God asked me to do it, then I would do it. And that's what happened. And he has blessed me with all of you in return. So in the Bible it says you get 100 more times families. And so how true it is. And our Bible readings today speak beautifully about the Holy Eucharist, even foreshadowed in the time of Genesis, Genesis 14. Melchizedek, he's a king of Salem. And Salem comes from the Hebrew word shalom, peace. And later, Salem would be called Jerusalem. And that was the word Jeru comes from when Isaac asked his father Abraham, where's the animal for the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God will provide. And so Jeru is God will provide, Salem, peace. And so God did provide, not with Isaac, but with his only begotten son, Jesus our Lord, on the cross for our salvation. And how beautiful that is. So Melchizedek is the first priest in the Bible. And he's got this mysterious lineage that we don't know about. And what did he offer up? Bread and wine. So we have a priest and a king who is offering up bread and wine in Jerusalem, just like Jesus would later offer up bread and wine, become his body, blood, soul, and divinity in Jerusalem at the Last Supper and on the cross and at every Mass thereafter. It's also the first time that tithing is mentioned. Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of the war winnings that he had. So how's your tithing coming? I put my check in the collection today. I tithe to this church, St. Joseph Church, and Bel-Air Cove. So I have three. And I encourage you to do the same and keep our mission of our church going. In Psalm 110, we heard, you are a priest forever in the line of Melchizedek. Unlike the Levite, the Levitical priesthood, which was handed down from father to son, here we have this priesthood that is eternal, it is forever, and that is the priesthood of Jesus our Lord. And then St. Paul talked about the Last Supper, and he said, I gave to you what I received. So that's tradition. It was handed on. Before it was written down in the Bible, it was handed on, sacred tradition. That's why we have tradition and scripture in our church. And he recounted what Jesus did. He said, this is my body, this is my blood. And then Jesus performs this miracle of multiplication to feed the crowds as a prophecy of how he would feed all of us down the road through the Mass, right? That he would do an even greater miracle. More than multiplying one thing into more of the same thing is to change one thing into something totally different. Bread and wine into the resurrected Jesus our Lord. It's a miracle. And we see it at every Mass, how blessed we are. And we are satisfied. It said they ate and they were satisfied. This is the most satisfying food in the world, right? Just as our stomachs crave food a couple of times a day, our souls are craving the love of God. And it is made concrete with us in the Holy Eucharist. In the early church, people desired the Eucharist so much that they were willing to die for it. I wonder if we would all be here today if we knew that it was illegal and that we might go to jail and that we might get martyred. Well, in the early church, that's what they had to do under the Roman Empire. And there were a group of 49 Catholics who were caught in the year 303 in northern Africa, Tunisia, the city of Abitine. And the Roman soldier or procurator asked the reader of the Mass, his name was Emeritus, we know what his name was. The Roman procurator said to him, why did you do this if you knew that if you got caught that you would be martyred? And he said, in their Latin, sino Domenico non possumus, which means without Sunday Eucharist, we can't live. So basically he was saying, I'd rather die and live eternally than go on living in this earth without the Holy Eucharist. Without the death and the resurrection of Jesus our Lord. That's what gives me life. That's what gives me strength. That's what gives me eternal life. That's why I'm willing to die for it. And they all died. Men, women, and children, 49 of them. Just a few of thousands and thousands and thousands of people who died for our beautiful faith and for the Holy Eucharist. Now, why do you think it was that Jesus chose eating for our salvation? Because it was eating that got us into trouble, right? Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the punishment was death. Exclusion from the Garden of Eden, from which they had the tree of eternal life. Couldn't eat from that anymore. And do you know it's a merciful thing that we die? Because if we would never die, we would never change. We would put it off and put it off and put it off. We would never change. But because we know that we have a limited amount of time on earth, then we know that we have to change and be ready and prepared for the moment that God calls us into the next life. And so God has chosen eating to get us out of this problem. Eating his body, drinking his blood. Receiving his whole self in this way. Do you know what is the least favorite word of Adam and Eve? Insinuate. Insinuate. Because if you break it up, it says, insinuate. And that's what happened. They got us into this problem by eating. And so we get out of it by eating too. By participating in the death and resurrection of Jesus our Lord. So Jesus brought us the antidote to the poison of original sin. He brought the tree from the garden, we can say, into the desert, out to us. And we have to eat of the fruit of this tree, Jesus our Lord, the fruit hanging on that tree for us. And what a beautiful fruit it is, right? What a sweet tasting gift, his very life that we receive in ourselves. St. Ignatius said, the Eucharist is the medicine of immortality. It is for eternity. So not only can we receive our Lord in Holy Communion at Mass, But we can also continue to adore him. We can come here into this church, the side doors are open during the daylight hours, and be in front of Jesus in the tabernacle and pray here. Or you can go to the hospital, Mercy Hospital, appropriately named, and go to the Adoration Chapel in there. And there we have Jesus exposed in the little tabernacle slash monstrance. And we have people in there 24 hours a day for 27 years come this November. 27 years we've had somebody in front of Jesus adoring him and praying for you and for me and for everybody, for the entire world. And to do that takes a lot of people. And so we always need new people to sign up. And we're going to have a little talk about that at the end of Mass on how to sign up for a Eucharistic Holy Hour, because people are dying and people are moving out of town, so you always need new people to take some of those Holy Hours. I'm going to take one of them myself, so I challenge all of you to do the same. Padre Pio said, 1 minute spent in front of the Blessed Sacrament is greater than 10,000 hours of doing something that you really like to do, some earthly pleasure. Just 1 minute in front of Jesus is better than 10,000, we could say even a million and a billion and a trillion hours of doing whatever we like to do, because Jesus is there. He is God. In reception of Holy Communion today, obviously we put our hands out in the form of a cross or a throne, or we receive Jesus directly on our tongue, and we receive in a state of grace. So if you have a serious sin, go to confession first and be cleansed and prepared to receive our Lord. You bow when the first person in front of you is receiving communion. Make a little sign of reverence. We obviously dress modestly in church and don't leave early. Wait till the very end. We come every Sunday. We come faithfully because we love the Lord. And as the Northern African martyr said, without the Sunday Eucharist, we cannot live. Sometimes in the sacristy, there's a little poster that says, "Priest of God, celebrate this Mass as if it were your first Mass, as if it were your last Mass, as if it were your only Mass." And I would say the same thing to you. People of God, celebrate this Mass as if it were your first Mass. You can imagine the devotion, right? If it were your last Mass, if you knew this was your last one, you'd be draining in every word, right? And then if this were your only Mass. Because Jesus is here for love of you.